Weeds, we all know, is a major challenge for organic farming. It's not uncommon to see weeds in our crops, such as shown in these pictures here. And in this talk, I want to address what kind of a yield hit are we taking from these weeds. This research was embedded within a long-term farming systems project that we have going at Beltsville, Maryland. This has now been going for 15 years. There's three organic systems and two conventional systems. Conventional are a no-till and a chisel till. The organic systems are distinguished between length of rotation, a two-year corn-soybean rotation, three-year corn-soybean-wheat rotation, and a six-year corn-soybean-wheat-hay rotation.
Somebody said they can't hear you real well, so try it out.
Oh, okay. Okay, is that better? Good. No? Okay. The experimental unit in this study, I'm going to call full plots. The area was 360 feet long by 30 feet wide, which is 12 corn rows. The sampling, both weeds and yield, was done in the center four rows. We then imposed on these weedy and weed-free subplots, pairs. Each subplot was 20 by 10, four corn rows. The weedy was a naturally weedy area that was typical of the full plot. We hand weeded the weed-free plots and we sampled the middle two rows. Now, one of the challenges of working with large plots is trying to estimate weed abundance. The typical approach is biomass sampling, but I think if you look at a picture like this, it's hard to say where you can get a representative sample. You either have areas where there's no weeds, or you have areas where there's one specific species of weeds, and it's hard to say really where is the best place to sample to get a representation. So instead, what we did is we rated the percent cover over the entire plot area. I don't have time to go into the details of this here, but we have shown that there is a linear relationship between these percent cover ratings and the biomass. Okay, so the computation approach that we took then to computing corn yield loss, essentially, we determined first the yield loss rate to weeds in our paired subplots. So we simply computed the yield loss as the difference between the weed-free and weedy yield divided by the weed-free yield. We then ran a regression of that yield loss against the cover from the weedy subplot to determine a rate coefficient, R, which was simply the yield loss per unit weed cover. We then assumed that there was essentially the same rate of yield loss in both the subplots and the full plots. We then went on to estimate the yield loss of the full plots by multiplying the rate coefficient times the cover in the full plots. And finally, we estimated weed-free yields of the full plots by using this yield loss that's computed in number two and the combine yield loss that was determined up here and the combine yield in the full plot using the expression shown. The results essentially showed that corn yield loss rate was a function of year. We did this using analysis of covariance, and that this essentially was influenced by rainfall. So if you look at the years where we had above average rainfall, 2001, 2004, and 2005 were the years that we had the lowest yield loss per unit we'd cover. And the years that we had below average rainfall, 97, 98, and 2002, we had the highest yield loss rate, up to almost 1% yield loss per unit we'd cover. We also saw no significant cropping system effect on yield loss, which simply meant that the rate of yield loss was the same for all of our cropping systems. Now, this result may be misleading, so I want to take a diversion. And let me talk about some research that Matt Ryan did at the Rodale Research Center. He looked at maize yield. Let's go back. Yeah, at maize yield as a function of a range of weed biomass, and found that there actually was more tolerance of the organic systems to biomass, less yield loss in the organic systems than in the conventional system at any given weed biomass level. Now, this study was specifically designed to measure this, so he had a range of weed biomass values that was equivalent across all of these systems, and I think that's what's really required to address this. In the study we did, we weren't really specifically addressing this question, so we tended to have a lower range of weed biomass values in the conventional system and a higher range of weed biomass values in the organic systems. And I think doing a covariance analysis, given when you don't have similar range of values for your regression variable, is a dangerous thing. So I think our results are really misleading and may not be definitive because of that. Okay. So returning now to our long-term study, I'm now looking at the full plots, and this just shows the weed cover ratings that we saw in our different cropping systems, and this tended to be fairly consistent year after year. We tended to see a higher weed cover in the shorter rotation, the corn-soybean two-crop rotation. In fact, we had over 50% average weed cover in these plots, whereas with the longer rotations, the four-crop rotation, we average about 18% weed cover. So I think this has been shown by several people that the longer, more diverse rotation, in this case, it's really phenological diversity that I think is important, will reduce weed populations. Now turning to the yield loss in these plots, since we had a similar rate coefficient for all the systems, the yield loss is really driven mainly by the cover. So again, we see with the two-crop rotation that we had over 30% average yield loss to weeds in these plots, whereas in the longer rotation, the four-crop rotation, we had a 14% yield loss on average to weeds. Looking now at the average yields for the systems, now remember this averages over both good years and dry years, so even our no-till organic is just a little over six metric tons. In the good years, the system was up around 10 to 12 metric tons. And we see a similar pattern of the organic systems. Again, the shorter rotation with the lowest yields, the longer rotations with the higher yields, but none of the systems had yields equivalent to the no-till system. So now the question we had is, if we estimate weed-free yields, will this account for these yield differences? And the answer is no. We still get the same pattern of response, meaning that there are other variables besides weeds that are contributing to yield loss. And in fact, this nitrogen played a big influence here. If we take our estimated weed-free yield and plot this against estimated nitrogen availability, we see that estimated nitrogen availability really accounts for over 50% of the variation in the estimated weed-free yield. And this was most pronounced in years with above average rainfall. Where we had below average rainfall, there was little nitrogen effect, and I think weeds probably play a bigger role than in yield loss in those years. So conclusions, weed cover did provide a convenient metric for linking subplot and full plot crop responses to weeds. As far as corn yield loss rate to weed competition, this is influenced very highly by rainfall, up to 4 to 5-fold differences. Again, this higher loss rates tended to be associated with below average rainfall. And there was a lack of a systems effect in our study, but as I said, that's not really a definitive, I feel. Corn yield response, higher abundance of weeds in systems with shorter rotation. Yield loss to weeds was basically driven by the weed abundance. And nitrogen availability as well as weeds accounted for yield loss in years with above average rainfall. And this research is presented in this paper if you're interested. So is there time for questions?
In fact, okay. Just before anybody asks, is Anil here? Okay, great. Okay, okay. But there is time.
Good.
Time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your percent covered, was that a one-shot deal, and what was the stage?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the percent cover ratings we tended to do at weed maturity. So in our case, that's about the time that corn is starting to senesce, something in that range. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier the covariance. I didn't catch very well. What was your covariance parameters? And the other second question is that you measured the estimated the canopy of weeds.
Well, the ratings of weeds were independent of the canopy of corn. So I actually would walk through the plots and look at the weed cover under the canopy of the crop. I think that would be one of the problems with using a digital approach. I think a lot of people have talked about using a digital approach to being able to quantitate cover, and that's fine if you have a relatively open canopy, but once the corn canopy closes, it becomes difficult to estimate that. The first part of the question? Yeah, the covariance analysis was simply yield loss, and the regression parameter was the weed cover rating, and then we had class variables such as year and the cropping system as well. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't take time to really go with that. I guess there is a little. Oops. Gotta go through this. There we go. Yeah. Actually, if you look at the legend there, you'll see that the no-till and the short rotation tended to have the higher estimated nitrogen availability, where the two-crop organic tend to have lower. In the case of that two-crop rotation, because it's a corn-soybean rotation, and we don't get the soybeans off at an opportune time, we're planting at the vetch later than we would like, so we often don't get good vetch biomass. Then we also supplement with poultry litter. The problem there is that the site is P limited, and so according to nutrient management regs in Maryland, that limits the amount of litter we can add.
Great. Thank you, John.
Okay.